Good morning.
Morning.
No idea where I'm going to put this. Okay, turn with me please to Matthew chapter 15. I'm going to read verses 1 through 20. Matthew 15, 1 through 20. Before we begin reading, I do want to apologize first and foremost to God. And I apologize to each and every one of you. When we made a decision this morning about whether we were going to have chapel or not because of the snow, I said to Ron and Dan that I'm going to wear some clothes that in case I get stuck, I don't want to be pushing my car in a tie. So I apologize to God, and I apologize to you for not having the proper attire. I would wear a suit normally because that's my personal thing. In front of God, I want to look my best. And I'm not doing it today, so I apologize. Matthew chapter 15, 1 through 20, it reads, "And then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commandeth, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by men, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrite! What did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. And he called the multitude, and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? And he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand whatsoever enter into the mouth goeth into the belly, and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Let's ask God to bless the reading of his word. Father, as we approach your throne, we thank you so much for your word. May your word open up our hearts that we can see your truth. May we be challenged by your truth. May we place it in our hearts so that we can live it daily. So we commit the time to you, Father, asking that you teach us and that we would all be receivers of your word and doers. Thank you, Father. It's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. All right. I said this morning that the whole purpose of the teaching such as this is to spiritual growth. And the three words I want you to, if you don't mind looking through as we go through it, you're going to be looking for a word, but it's not in here. Talmud. I used to call it Talmud, but the Jewish people corrected me, and it's Talmud. And it's T-A-L-M-U-D. And you'll see that that's another set of laws of the Jews. Then you have Korban, which means gift. And you'll see that over in Mark chapter 7, where he wrote the same parable. And then the third word would be cardia, and that's the heart. And that's the whole message right here, is really guarding your heart and trusting God. That's really where you want to be. And then I thought, every message, in my view, and I think you've heard others say, that we really should come up with a practical message. It shouldn't be just a message, but there's some practicalities. A lot of times when the Lord allows me to teach, I don't really get to the practicalities, and I rush it at the end. So as I was sitting there, and as you were singing, I was going through in my mind, I've changed the whole message. Not, I didn't change the whole message, I just the order of the message. Let's go to the practicality first. So I'm going to give you five things on how to guard your heart. Five things on how to guard your heart. If you do these five things, will it guard your heart? And I dare say, I believe it will. Then it's going to be all from the scriptures. And you're going to see that this is what God is talking about in this parable, this teaching to the Pharisees and the scribes. But what can I do to guard my heart? You know, I thought about this good 10, 15 years ago. I'll give you a little practical story, not a practical story, but a little something in my life. I was very depressed. And I was still an elder. And I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to go to meetings. I didn't want to teach. Definitely didn't want to teach. And I was just booked for the year. And I'm so glad that God booked me for the year. Because what it did was actually what I'm going to give you here is what I did. And it brought me out of my depression daily. And what not only brought me out of my depression, but it let me continue to serve in the capacity that God placed me to serve and let all the trials that were hitting me at that time just go over me and past me. Because if it was my way, I would sit in my little chair, my lounge chair or whatever I have, and just rot. But I didn't do that because God made me be in his word. So this is the five practical steps. And then we'll get into the teaching on this other one. And you'll see they combine, they connect. First step is this. Now, this is going to require from you a half hour a day. And I mean this. You need to do a half hour a day. If you don't do the half hour a day and you shorten it, now you can do an hour and a half, but if you shorten it, you shorten your time with God. Lionel Harris sings a song, "I miss my time with you," by way of God to man. I miss my time with you. So here's step one. Step one is probably the easiest but most difficult to do. That's a complex statement, right? Commitment. Simply commitment. You have to set a time of a half hour a day. You can do that. Now, it's easy to commit. And this is what I meant by it's so easy yet so hard. It's easy to say I'm going to be committed. It's hard to do it for that half hour. Because people will rob your time. They will definitely rob. They don't mean to rob your time. They don't know your time, but they will rob your time. Number one, commit and do. That's number one. Now, when you do this and you're going to actually open up, the first thing you have to do, this is very, very important, open up with a prayer for a pure heart. That means if you have any sin or confession need to be due, this all of this is part of commitment. Number two, meditation. While getting into meditation and the whole teaching on meditation, I'll give you I keep this because J.I. Packer, he just has the greatest definition of meditation I've ever seen. And it's this. It is the activity of calling to mind and thinking over and dwelling upon and applying to oneself the various things that one knows about the works and the ways and the purposes and the promises of God. Don't try to write this down. Get the tape. But again, it is the activity of calling to mind and thinking over and dwelling upon and applying to oneself the various things that one knows about the works and the ways and the promises of God. It is the activity of holy thought consciously performed in the presence of God, under the eye of God, by the help of God, as a means of communion with God. It's all about God. And then he goes on, it is the purpose, its purpose is to clear one's mental and spiritual vision of God. Clear it. And let his truth make its full and proper impact on one's heart and mind. So again, that last piece, its purpose, meditation's purpose, is to clear one's mental and spiritual vision of God and let God's truth make its full and proper impact on one's heart and one's mind. I don't know if you've ever seen The Love for the Game. It's on DVD now, and it's about a baseball game, and it's about a pitcher, Billy Chappell. And he's on the mound, and little be known to him, he's pitching a no-hitter on his last day in the major leagues. And in the middle of all that, when it's getting down a very difficult time, and he's run out of strength, and he's in the last innings, he gets out on the mound, and he has to say, clear the vision, so that he can just focus on throwing one more pitch. And beloved, that's what meditation's all about, clearing it all. Now, the meditation piece is, I gave this to my boss, by the way. And so I told him, he said, well, how do you do it? I said, well, all right, I'm going to tell you how to do it. Go with me, please. Just take a moment. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Now, if we never get to Matthew 15, I'm sorry. But we'll go to Colossians chapter 3. Go to Colossians chapter 3, and we know these scriptures. These scriptures, like, they just touch us so much. Just take the first four verses. What I usually say is, take a whole chapter. Take a whole chapter and read it through. Well, if I read, and we're not going to do that, that's 25 verses. Well, if that's too much for you, just take a few verses. Let's take 1-4. And it says, if then ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, which Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of earth. Make, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now you just take that verse, that little section. Now you would read the whole chapter. The meditation is the 5-minute thing. This is 5 minutes. That's all, 5 minutes. So you read the chapter. Now start your 5 minutes after reading the chapter. Don't count that as time. And what you're doing is, you read the chapter. Now, all you want to do is one verse now, just one verse. Meditate on one verse. So whatever you thought before, clear it. And now you're reading one verse. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And now let your thoughts just go to that verse. Just hold on to that verse. And start looking at the verse. God, if you know me, I can't get past the first word. What do you mean, God? Is there a choice? If ye then be risen with Christ. What does that mean to be risen with Christ? Does that mean when I die and I go to heaven? And it's just a meditation now. Just thinking about God and his ways under his teaching. You're not doing any other books with you. There's no commentaries here. There's no Bible dictionary here. There's no concordance here. It's just you and God now. What does it mean to be risen with Christ? And seek. Seek what? What am I seeking? What does it mean to seek? God, what is it you're telling me? And then you're going through each one of the, where Christ sitteth. Why does he sit? Why is he in a position now of sitting at the right hand of the Father? Why are you sitting, God? Because, you know, you start to think and you say, blessed is the man, remember Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And you look at that and you see there's a progression here where you walk, you stand, and then you sit. But when we get to Colossians 3:1, it's just, why are you sitting, our dear Lord Jesus Christ. Why are you sitting? Is it done? And what is done? And it's just a meditation. Everybody following this? Do this for me. Right. On the right hand, what does the right hand of God mean? And that's all you did now. 5 minutes. That's 5 minutes. Now, so far that's step one and step two, right? Step three. Gets a little more challenging now. Step three. This is 15 minutes. Right? So if you're counting, we're like going to be like 20-something minutes, 22 minutes in. All right. One for commitment to do, a little prayer, 5 minutes for meditation. Now you got 15 minutes. 15 minutes. What are you doing in this 15 minutes? Studying. This is what's important here. This is where another verse has to come and play into it. I can find out that I marked this. Well, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Let me just pop over there. Probably memorize this. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is step three. Study. Just study. Now, your Bible dictionary is here, your concordance is here, and if you got, like I have nine other Bibles, I have nine other different translations that I read. I know one brother has 13. I just don't have 13. I get nine. And I go and I look at them. I look up every word. I'll look up seek. I'll look up. Now, this is just me, and this is what got me through. You know what's happened at this point in time? You're studying. I look up the word risen, seek, above, sitteth, right hand, and I'll use the concordance. I'll use a lexicon, and I will use a Bible dictionary. And I'll look them all up. Just because the lexicon told me one thing, that's not enough. And I'll look up some more. That's just me. 15 minutes. What is happening in the first three steps? Well, I'm committed. I'm spending my time with God. I've meditated on God before anything else came into view, and I'm studying. And you know, all the worlds and trials and tribulations that I'm going through, they're just not there right now. I'm in a total peace with God. They'll try to knock on the wall and get in. You have to block all that out. Save the time for God. That's step three. Study. You get more time for study. 15 minutes. Because I do have capability of a computer and going in, but I don't do it. All right? That's just me. My brother says, I can get you the program. I said, I don't want it. I want to look up every word. I want to touch the word. I want to see the word. It's tedious, but it's worth it to me. You might want to use that. That's okay. Step four. You ready? This is pretty easy. Meditate. You're back. You know everything you just studied now? And what you need to do with this piece of it is separate it. Separate it from any of man's thoughts and talk to God again for another 5 minutes. Another 5 minutes. And what you're doing now is you're going through the same words again. By the way, this is about the fourth or fifth time you've gone through this, depending if you're using a concordance and a Bible dictionary and all these other things. Guess what's happening? You're knowing this in your heart, not in your head. You know it's in your heart. And so another 5 minutes of meditation, remember, take man's thoughts, throw it out the window, and let God tell you again. It's beautiful. But it takes time, commitment, and it takes work. That's four steps. Number five. Are you ready? Well, how much time you have left? 2 or 3 minutes? Pray. Pray. Because everything you just studied, you're going to ask God. You opened it with prayer, and now you're going to close it with prayer. But what you're going to pray now is pray the scriptures. Pray the thoughts. Now, if it goes over half an hour, is that a bad thing? No. The bad thing is this. If that you did Monday and Tuesday you took off, That's the bad thing. Because Wednesday, the good chance you won't come back. All right. Gave you the practical first. Now I'm in trouble. All right, go Matthew 15. If you broke Matthew 15 down, you're going to break it down this way. Well, you could. This is the outline. At least one I came up with is verses 1 through 9, human traditions and laws. Verse 1 through 9, human traditions and laws. 10 through 20 is where we're really going to finish off, hopefully, is Jesus' discourse on what defiles a man. Jesus explained what defiles a man. You're going to see that it really comes down to guarding your heart, trusting in God. 21 through 28, we're not going to touch, but just to give you the idea is Jesus and the Syrophoenician woman. 29 through 31, Jesus heals. And 32 through 39, Jesus feeds 4,000, but this time with 7 loaves and fishes, and a few fishes, however few is. So we're going back to verse 1 through 9, and we're going to see the human traditions and laws. And you're going to see the connection of why the practical of meditation and studying God's word, the commitment of a half hour a day, why it's so important. First thing we see is that then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. And so, first of all, let's break down the scribes and the Pharisees once again. Because when you study, and I know you all know the scribes, right? The scribes are, in the Old Testament, it meant one that is well-versed in the law. That's the Old Testament. A clever scribe was well-versed in the Holy Scriptures. So they know the law and more. They're well-versed in them. They've got them in their mind. They've got this all settled. And why do I say that? Because when you get into the Gospels, what is a scribe? And this is what a scribe is when you're reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The scribes were supposed to be acquainted with and interpreters of God's, get this now, saving purpose. You see, they knew the law, they knew some of the prophecies, and they were to be acquainted with the saving purpose of God. So, isn't that interesting that when God came as Jesus Christ, they actually opposed him. They actually didn't know their scriptures. But they knew their traditions. We'll get to that. What were the Pharisees? Pharisees, both a religious and a political party. They are located in Palestine. By the way, if you went over to Europe today or Asia, you will find that there's two sets of police. You have your religious police and you have your political police. If you're in Iraq, and when we go over there, we got 20-something auditors for the government over there. That's from my agency. When they go over there, they're versed that you make sure you do not pass out Bible or literature when you're outside of the green wall. Because what they can do is get you on a plane or put you in prison. Plane getting back to the United States. And whatever you have in the green zone, we'll send to you. That has happened to a couple of our auditors. Interesting. The Pharisees were both religious and political in Palestine. They were known for insisting that the law of God be observed as the scribes interpreted it. And they were strong in two points: tithing and purity. Tithing and purity. Now remember this. Although the priests were responsible for teaching and interpreting the law, that's back in Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 10, 8 through 11, and Deuteronomy 33, 8 through 10. That was in Old Testament times. Many priests have lost their respect because of the corruption in the Jerusalem priesthood. That sound familiar today? We Christians have to be very careful because ministers are getting headlines all over the place for their corruption. And people will look to other people versus, well, we heard some statistics today that are just unbelievable. Okay, that's verse 1. I just wanted you to lay down who these people are. And then we go to verse 2 and we see, why do the disciples transgress? So here's the Pharisees and the scribes are coming, and they want to know, and right away you see the challenge that the scribes and Pharisees are giving, and it has to do with the purity, the washing of hands before they eat. So we got to lay it down. We got the good and the evil going on, and we see that they're the disciples. They're a learner or pupil, one who adheres, who accepts the instructions given to him and makes it a rule of their conduct. That is a disciple. You hear the instructions, you hear the word of God, and that you make a rule for your conduct of life. Now, that's what every time we walk out of this building after a teaching or a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night, and we take God's word, if we take God's word seriously, we're going to make it a rule of our conduct. That's going to be part of our conduct. So rightly dividing the word of truth in that practical area is very, very important. But then he says, why do the disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? Well, transgress, we know that. That's to step on one side, to sin. In the New Testament, it always means in the moral sense, why are we sinning? Why are we transgressing? And then we got the tradition, the precepts of the Jewish traditionary law. The tradition of the elders. Now, this is where I find that God was very, very... talk about wisdom. Talk about understanding. He is the Word. The tradition of the elders, that is something that was handed down from one to another by memory, some precept, not commanded in the written law, the Holy Scriptures, but which the scribes and the Pharisees held themselves bound to. Well, what am I saying? You remember Moses? Go like this. I just want to make sure everybody's with me. You remember Moses? You remember he went up on Mount Sinai? And when he was up on Mount Sinai, he was getting the commandments, right? Getting the Ten Commandments. And God wrote them with his finger. I don't know if it was his pinky. What finger he wrote? He wrote them and gave, here's your Ten Commandments. The Jewish belief, and it is today also, is they had something called the Talmud. T-A-L-M-U-D. And I was calling it Talmud. And Amy, my daughter, they're not my daughter-in-laws, they're my daughter. She asked how to pronounce that. And it's Talmud, M-O-O-D, I guess. So, well, they believe, the Jewish culture believes, that there was two sets of laws given on Mount Sinai. The written law and the hand-me-down law. Now, I got this through commentators. And I'm saying, Talmud, he commented. And so I said, I don't believe this. This can't be true. So I got the Bible Webster out. And I looked up Talmud just to see. It's there. Jewish set of laws. And I thought, how interesting this was. I didn't know this. But in my studies have brought me to this. What I found so interesting with Jesus Christ is he said this, the tradition of the elders. He didn't come out and say the Talmud. Because he's making this timeless. Because you know, you and I have traditions, don't we? And we've got to be very careful with traditions and make sure they're not interfering or putting down the Word of God. One of the traditions Bristol Bible Chapel has is that when we set the clocks back, you get that extra hour of sleep, we don't sleep. We come in and have breakfast, which is kind of neat, right? Nice tradition. But that's fine. But if the elders ever said, that's a called out meeting, and you have to be here, well, that's wrong. That's wrong. That would be legalism. And that would be the traditions of men. Jesus makes it timeless. He didn't say Talmud. He said the tradition of the elders. I found that fascinating. Moving on. This is how Jesus responds. And I love the way he handled these people. I wish we had this in our own hearts. And I guess we do if we just listen to the scriptures and take that practical steps. And because if you're starting your day, some people will end the day with that half hour. But if you can start that day with that half hour of commitment, meditation, study, meditation, prayer, oh, you're ready. You're ready for what's out there. And you can get through anything. He says this, verse 3. Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God of your traditions? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. Now, you know what? What Jesus just did is he quoted two scriptures. He quoted Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, where it says, honor thy father and thy mother. He didn't get to the pat. That was the first part of it. He didn't quote the second part of it, and additional days will be added to your life. That was the fifth commandment. And in that quote, when you see the word honor is to obey, to reverence, to speak kindly to speak and think well of. That's what honor is. But then he goes on and he says, he quotes Exodus 21, verse 17, and he says this, he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. So you have to look up the word curse, to curse. What does that mean, to curse? We know what cursing is, right? And I'm not saying any. But it is to, in the Old Testament, it meant to disobey. That's part of cursing. It means to treat without reverence. Or to treat with irreverence. To swear at, that's what we all know what cursing is, to swear at. To speak ill of. Anybody ever speak ill of somebody? Careful. To think evil in the heart. To meditate or to do any evil to a parent. To a parent. So, Jesus comes right back. Now, when you study this, you say, now why would he come right back at that? How does that have to do with washing of my hands? And then he goes on, verse 5. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or mother, it is a gift by which thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your traditions. And what he's doing, what Jesus is doing, is he's bypassing right now the washing of the hands. But he's attacking the Talmud or the traditions of man or the traditions of the elders. Laws that are not in the scripture. And he says, this is what you have said. Now, when you read this, but whoever say to his father or mother, you look at that first three words, I'm in the King James, but ye say, that's from man, that's from your tradition, that's not from the scriptures, but ye say, in what he's, it's a twisting of words. And man, if they don't watch out, they can twist the words. You remember there was another twisting of words in scripture? It's in Matthew chapter 4. And Jesus and Satan were having a discussion. Jesus hadn't eaten for 40 days. And what did Satan say? Turn the stone to bread and eat. I'm paraphrasing. And what did Jesus respond? Man does not live by bread alone. We don't stop there, right? He goes on, he says, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's how man lives. Satan twisted the words. The tradition of the elders twists the words. When you take scripture and make it to fit your thinking, you've twisted the words. And we're not to do that. That's why the meditation. That's why the study. That's why the meditation on the study. Rightly dividing the word of truth. He says it is a gift. Now in Matthew, that's Matthew, it is a gift. If you went to Mark 11, don't turn, but you can check it yourself. It's the same parable. But he says in Mark 11, Mark says, korban. He uses the word gift there. It's korban. And what that actually means is, what they did was, I just break it down this way. If I had an argument with my father, he's 74. He died at 75, but he's 74. And it's my responsibility, if he's in his old age, I wish my kids were here, because I could tell them, you know, when I get, I'm going to make it 65 for me. But when you get to 74 or 75 and you start to retire, it's my responsibility as a son to get him through his retirement, if he's sick. That's my responsibility. That's honor. That's honor. It may have to, goes beyond my care, but we get into that's different pieces of it, but it's my responsibility, nobody else's responsibility. But if I get into an argument with him, and I have money, I have means to help him, but I get into an argument with him, and this is what I say. I'm giving my inheritance, Dad, to the Jewish temple. Korban. I'm making this a korban. This is all my inheritance. I'm going to live off what I have right now, but when I pass on, all this here, all that I have is korban. And what they're saying, it's going to the church, or it's going to the temple, or it's going to the synagogue. And that means, Dad, I can't dip into it. It's not honoring for me. It's more honoring for me to give this, all that I have, to God and not you. And that's what they did. And that was one of the rules of the Talmud, the tradition of the elders. How does that violate God's scripture? What does it violate right away? The fifth commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother. You see how interesting this is? He doesn't attack the washing of the hands. He's attacking the traditions of the Jewish nation. There isn't a second set of, by the way, I'm an auditor for the government, and you know when we go into companies, we're always looking for that second set of books. We want to see where they're really hiding their money. And you know, I've been there for 36 years. I've never found a second set of books. Never found it. Found cheating. Found lying. Found creative accounting. Got the money back. Never found the second set of books. The Jewish nation has the second set of books. If any church has legalism, tradition of elders, that violate scripture, that's the second set of books. And it's wrong. It can't be. Everybody understand korban? And this is what they would use all the time. Verse 6, it says, honor not his father and mother and shall be free. That's what it means by being free. I don't have to honor you anymore because I'm free from you. I've had my argument. And once I say korban and I bring it to the elders of the synagogue, it's done for you. Can't be taken back. Thus have ye made the commandment of God none effect by your traditions. Then he says in verse 7, this is where Jesus gets a little tough. You hypocrites. You hypocrites. A hypocrite is one who displays a pretense or having feelings or characteristics that they really don't have. And, you know, I was reading one of the translations, and you know what it said? You weasels. I'm saying, well, that's pretty tough. I don't know if I want to be called a weasel or a hypocrite. I don't want to be called either one of them, to be honest with you. Ye hypocrites. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for the doctrines and the commandments of men. In vain. You see, if you're thinking that way, it's all in vain. Let's go to verse 8. The people draw nigh with their mouth. Isaiah spoke that. I think it's back in chapter 29. Isaiah spoke of the nation in his time. Jesus speaks to the scribes and the Pharisees. The scriptures also apply to today. So many people are drawing so close, or they think they're drawing nigh to God with their mouth, but their heart isn't there. They go through the motions, but their heart isn't there. And, beloved, that's a challenge for us. You know, the first week of the year, I usually like to come in and start the year off and give you some past things and the future things, and I couldn't come. And that was the first time in 25 years of speaking that I have not made a speaking engagement because of sickness. First time. And it broke my heart. Then the second week was supposed to be mine, because I booked me. I get to do the booking of speakers. And I booked me because it was all approved by the elders. And I couldn't come the second week either. So Danny was over the house yesterday, and we were trying to fix something that was happening in my household, and a pipe, not people, and it's still not fixed, pray for that. And we said, we're not canceling. We don't even know the weather yet, because it broke our heart. We got on the phone with Ron this morning, and what did we say? I mean, it's coming down. We're not canceling. We just won't cancel. We want the safety of the people. We're not canceling. Broke our heart not to be here with you to break bread, to have teaching. Okay. The scribes and the Pharisees, they drew near to God, and they tried to honor him. They even had professional worshipers back then. They were very strict in their ceremonial observances. And remember, the two things that really are the Pharisees' trademark: tithing and purity. Remember, in John chapter 2, Jesus at the marriage in Cana, Galilee, they took the 6 water pots and purified them. There was a whole ritual of purification. But you see, all that is fine and dandy. But if your heart isn't there, there's no worship there. There's no worship. All that means nothing to God if your heart is not given. You see, Jesus says, you honoreth with their lips. That means they professed praise and acknowledge me. They have devotions, they have songs, they have prayer, but their heart is far from me. They withheld their affections of the heart. By the way, it is Isaiah 29, verse 13. And Isaiah 29, 13 actually says this at the beginning, but have removed their hearts from me. It was a conscious effort to remove their heart from God. Imagine that. Imagine that. Why is it so important to guard your heart? Because you're going to hear all kinds of junk out there. You're going to hear statistics, as we heard this morning. And when you read newspapers, be careful, because they write to their slant, always. It would be nice to have a truthful reporter that really measures the facts. Counselors, if you go to counseling, watch out if they give you their opinion. Watch the Word of God and follow that. I don't know if anybody can see it yet. You understand why it's so important to take a half hour a day? And, you know, I've heard speakers say, and I used to say it, You know, just take a minute a day. Take 5 minutes a day. And I'm thinking, boy, is that wrong. I mean, that's good. But a half an hour. Can you do a half an hour? Can you give a half an hour out of 24 hours or 48 half hours? Give one half hour a day to Jesus Christ. And if it goes over that, it's okay. That's okay. But once you start doing this, maybe we got 3 more minutes. Stop it. Cut it off. You're done. As a matter of fact, that first minute or two before that 3 minutes probably was no good anyway. Remember this. This is how detailed God is. If your heart isn't there, don't give it to me. Don't give me your praise. Don't give me your worship. Your heart has to be there. But God, I got all this trial and all this tribulation going on in my life. You know, those are the ones, those people, are the ones that'll take the full half hour or more. You know what won't take the full half hour or more? Hey, I'm going skiing today. Water skiing, snow skiing, I don't care. I'm going to play baseball today. Oh, the big game's coming on today. You know, those people in the half an hour. The UConn's coming on at noon, and I haven't done my half hour. What do I go with? UConn. No, I'll go over here. Maybe give it 20, 22 minutes. Don't go. God wants your full heart, not a portion of it. I surrender all, not some. Where am I? 5 minutes to go. See, that's why I did the practicality first. Okay. Verse 10 going on, it says, and he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Now, I love this because when he was doing this, the first 9 verses, he's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. And the disciples are probably listening. Probably. I don't know. But he's talking to the scribes. Now, watch what he does because he wants everybody to hear this now. He says, and he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Everybody now, come here. Come on, everybody. Everybody, come on. Now, I want you to hear and understand this. This is so important now. Not that which goeth into the mouth defiles a man, that which cometh out of the mouth, this defiles a man. You can't get clearer than that. It's not what goes in your stomach, it's what comes out of your heart. Verse 12, then came his disciples. Now that was one thing that he said to everyone. Then came his disciples and he said unto them, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended? You got to love this because here's Jesus. He knows they're offended. He knows the heart. After they heard your saying, they're offended. Jesus, they're offended. They're upset with you. You think Jesus didn't know that? Did you think that bothered Jesus? It bothered them that they're on their way to hell. That bothered them. Whether they were offended or not because of the traditions of man, no. What would bother him is if his disciples listened to that and placed it in their heart. He said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. Leave them alone. Leave the Pharisees and the Sadducees alone. Don't worry about them being offended. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch. And that is true. If the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall in the ditch. Planting. He uses that a lot in Scripture, some types of planting. Let me tell you this, beloved. If you follow what people say, that's going to go to your mind. And you'll live off your mind. If you follow what people say, it'll eventually reach your heart. And then you will take that as law. If you have a lie in your possession that you've told since you were a child, you probably own that lie. A story you may have made up that was never fully true. And you own it. And you still say it. You see, what goes in the mind will eventually reach your heart and you'll own it. When you meditate on God's word, it doesn't go to your mind, it goes to your heart so that you own it and reaches your mind for understanding. But it stops in the heart. That's where meditation, that's where the word must be. And it reaches up. And in that fashion, God has planted it, and it will not be rooted up. Everything you've learned now, you carry with you for eternity, because it's God's word. Isn't that neat? See the investment you can put in a half hour a day? Because it goes for eternity. Verse 15. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are you yet without understanding? What's your problem, Pete? No, he didn't say that. Do you not understand that whatsoever entereth the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out as waste or draught? You eat, you need it, it's gone. But these, and hold on to verse 18, beloved. Hold on to 18. But those things which proceedeth out of the mouth cometh forth from the heart, they defile the man. And so God is talking about your heart. What are your words? You know, this is what I found from some Christians, and I got to close. But this is what I found from some Christians. Some Christians have been a Christian for 20 years, and they still swear. They bang their thumb. They get snagged in a tree from casting. And I still hear the swear, the bad word. Maybe not the Lord's name, but that's defiling you if you do it. We have a whole different vocabulary, beloved. Our life has to change. It has changed. But for those who are on a plateau, there is another plateau. Reach it. Go for it. I can go down to different seven sins here, but I'm not going to for the time. If you went to Mark chapter 7, you'll see that his seven are there, but an additional seven are there. We don't have to go into all the badness of that message. Maybe next time, if you really like that kind of teaching, I'll give it to you, but I won't go there from adulteries to fornications to all that junk. Beloved, what can I say? Commit yourself to God. We have talked three words today. Talmud, traditions of elders. I don't mean us. I mean the Jewish nation. We have talked Korban. And Korban is a picture of dishonoring the scriptures. Now, God never said you should not give to God. Because remember the woman with the two mites? You heard it last time. The woman with the two mites gave all she had. And God loved her for it. And blessed her for it. For her actions go down for eternity. Korban. And then cardia. That is your heart. Steve Green sings a song, guard your heart. How do I guide my heart? Commitment, meditation, study, meditation, prayer. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, for loving us, your children. Guiding our pathways, showing us your scriptures. Let our hearts draw nigh to you. Let us not have hearts that are away from you with lip service and false praise, but a heart full of joy and thanksgiving for the daily life we have. Father, we love you and we thank you as we part, keep us all safe until we meet again. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.